Welcome back to the Life School Masterclass Show, a place where visionary leaders build a life and business legacy on purpose through mindset, branding, marketing, sales, systems, and team, so they can make an amazing impact and income and positively affect their communities worldwide. Ensure that you are sharing this show, you're subscribing, and you also are leaving us a review so we can create more amazing content around those areas to help you level up to the next level and also bring amazing guest experts that can share their knowledge and expertise with you so that you can create amazing legacy. All right, legacy builders and change makers, welcome back to another show. I'm so excited to be back with you with another amazing guest and conversation. And today I have the amazing honor to have Mary Rappenthal, all the way from California, joining us today. And Mary's also a multi-purpose, multifunctional individual, a woman that is always out there with a mission, someone that is always trying to create impact in the world. So Mary, I am so honored that you are part of our show today, and welcome.
Thank you, Ilona. I'm so honored to be here. I really appreciate you and the work that you're doing. And again, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Likewise, the pleasure is all mine. And I absolutely believe that the audience will walk away with tons of value from our conversation today, the heart to heart conversation that I always like to have with my guests. So Mary, let's dive into some of the most meaningful moments in your journey that led you to where you are today. There's always a great interest and also a great, I guess, there's always a lot of lessons that we learn through just hearing somebody's story of how did they get to where they are, and I guess the purpose behind what fuels their work. So what can you share with us?
Gosh, that's a great prompt. You know, I started in architecture. I think my passion for architecture grew at a very young age. My father was a contractor, and after dinner every night, he would kind of roll out his set of drawings and show what he was, you know, he would be reviewing what he was going to be working on the next day. And he would let me sit there and ask questions. And I was very curious. I still am. I think a good piece of advice I've gotten and I've been able to maintain, Ilona, is just, you know, to continually have the curiosity of a child throughout life, really be interested, really want to learn constantly, you know, being a lifelong learner, asking questions, being able to, you know, embark on new challenges, which even though I've been doing this for 30 years, every day I come across a new kind of challenge, honestly, that is exciting to solve new things as they arise. So I think my family, I'm from a family of five. My mom was a professional kind of volunteer, but she, like a lot of women of that generation, she was the doctor, the lawyer, the accountant of our family. She was our, you know, just our biggest supporters. Between the two of them, they really empowered us all to be, you know, very, you know, they had a really solid structure, but there was obviously a certain amount of chaos in our life because of having, you know, such a large family. But it was a really nice balance of you know, that safe scaffolding of structure, and then, you know, synchronicity and, you know, dynamism, I guess, through being really active in the community as well. So I think I learned, you know, how to just really to be engaged, and how to be, I guess, kind of resilient through life. So I'm so happy with the profession that I'm in. I love what I do every day. And, you know, some of the best moments in my career when a project that I've been working on and dedicated to, you know, was finally constructed, and the moment, you know, you see it occupied, you see people in the space using it. Of course, we incorporate the voices of those individuals as we're shaping the project, because the most successful projects come through involving the stakeholders in it. So, you know, just seeing an environment that we've designed really allow people to thrive is so exciting. And Winston Churchill said, you know, first we shape our environments, and thereafter they shape us. So creating those environments to allow people to thrive. Our firm, HED, it's a short for Harley Ellis Devereaux. Our own personal commitment is a promise called Advancing Your World. And we promise through our work to create positive impact. So that's been my passion my whole life. I think you and I share the idea that, you know, success is creating value. It's actually an Albert Einstein quote is, what's the definition of success? It's actually creating value and being of value to society. And I take that, you know, that's my personal commitment. It's my obligation to the world, really. So that's a little bit about me.
Yeah, I love that. These are the subconscious and conscious points of connection that I think me and you have, but also a lot of the people that watch the show. It's their curious mind of ours, right? Always like stemming from childhood and then kind of growing through, you know, our environments, whether it was our culture, wherever is it that, you know, we were affected by our environment. And I love that you now, even with the work, you design amazing environments where people can thrive and strive. But I feel like sometimes, a lot of the times, our journey or maybe our curious child inside of us gets kind of shut down as we grow older, or I guess through the environments that we get to get affected from. What were some of the values that you received in your family that you now use in the work that you do or in the way that you just show up as an individual and as a woman?
That's a great question, Ilona. You know, honesty, being, you know, coming forward with integrity, being able to communicate and collaborate, you know, coming from a large family, there was a lot of collaboration, a lot of compromise, obviously. And, you know, I think showing up every day, committing and being accountable when you say you're going to do something, you know, follow through. I think my parents, I'm very grateful for the childhood that we had and the environment that I grew up in, because they taught us tenacity. Don't ever give up. My mom says I'm one of the most determined people she's ever met. And I say, well, it's because, you know, you taught me to be that way. And, you know, everything that I am is a product of, you know, of my early experiences. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just, you know, determination, just living, you know, being a value, like I said. You know, my mom is a professional volunteer, and she was, you know, even today, I just visited them last week in Wisconsin, which is where I grew up. And my mom goes to the Y every morning to go swimming. And everyone you know, she knows everyone there. When we walk through the door, everyone's like, your mom is just so wonderful. And, you know, she has a really great community of people, and she, you know, just creating community connections is important to me. I like to cross-pollinate individuals as well. I think I learned that through just my family's engagement in the community. Some of the values that I was raised with.
I love it. I mean, the strong willingness, right? And the determination is absolutely a skill that I think, you know, we are also born with that as well. And it's amazing to also be able to see, you know, the energy that we receive from our parents. And a lot of times this stuff is just from watching, right? Just observation. It's not literally somebody telling us, well, this is, you know, how, you know, you could do this or that. And maybe some of that was done as well. But I know that I just personally learned so much from just observing people. Like, I just love to do that as well. So thank you so much, Mary, for sharing that. I think that's, you know, that's really empowering in the personal sense, but I always find that our personal values, beliefs, and things that drive us, of course, translate into our professional endeavors as well. So give me a better idea around the work that you do on the day-to-day when you take on a project from start to finish. What are some of those things that you look for? How is it that you're able to now create impact and add value with all the amazing experience that you've had over the years and the work that you're doing out there for people?
Sure. So projects I'm working on right now are pretty diverse. I have working on some K-12 projects, some outdoor learning environments, which is really exciting. Some new student housing, affordable student housing on a higher ed level. I'm wrapping up some modernization projects that we're just trying to close out right now. And all of them, I guess a common thread is really trying to maximize positive outcomes in all the work that we do. And, you know, create that sense of community, that sense of excitement and embedded education within the projects. And this outdoor learning project, it's actually, it's a grant funded by the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission. So it's involving stormwater, stormwater retention. And so the more we can retain stormwater, we get more funding. But one of the exciting things that we were talking yesterday as a team, it's our civil engineer and our landscape architect, is how do we embed the idea of where rainwater goes into the work that we're doing? So we're trying to capture rainwater and turn it into, you know, channel it into like a bench, a concrete bench, and where students will sit, but, you know, on rainy days, and, you know, they'll be able to see where water is actually being channeled to. We want to embed that education within the project, you know, and create these outdoor classrooms as well, which we know, I think a silver lining from COVID was to understand that, you know, educational environments that really thrived through those, through COVID, were those that had really great outdoor learning environments. And so there's a lot of funding that's happening for these outdoor classrooms. And so, you know, creating educational demonstration within, with our new student housing project, it's a 2,100 bed facility to address the very dire housing need here. And, you know, this is kind of a national issue. But we're, you know, we're creating community amenities throughout the campus, creating campus connections. How do we, you know, add value, providing conference space for other facilities, having it be a joint use and rental facility that can actually be, bring income back into the college. So just really, really looking for every opportunity, Ilona, to maximize positive outcomes. We always seek to solve, you know, a number of challenges within economical and innovative solutions to always bring value back to the clients. You know, it's no, it doesn't escape us that the environments that we're creating, we want to last 50 plus years. And so every decision we make is something that that we need to be extremely responsible about, work with our team, you know, to have that kind of inclusive mindset, like I said earlier. Involving our stakeholders and users in the process is something that's really important to ensure that the project is shaping with consensus, that that we separate the you know, the needs from the wants, especially with our, you know, market conditions. We've had some really wild economic, you know, impacts where escalation and construction costs were, like, you know, extremely high. And so we always build relief valves in our projects so that we don't have to redesign if something unforeseen happens. We've separated the needs of the project, the absolute need to have, from the wants. And so this is a technical thing, but it's like a bit alternate. So if these are things that we can let go of if we need to, and that's a value to our client as well, because we're avoiding costly redesign, we're avoiding impacts and schedules. So we want to, you know, we want to be trusted advisors to our clients and, you know, also advocate on their behalf to do high performance work that's going to benefit the users and put money back into the facilities.
Well, truly a social conscious person, right? And these are all social causes, and everybody obviously chooses the thing that they feel they can add the most value based on their skills, experience, expertise, and all of that. Mary, just one curious question, just back to what you were speaking about. How do you think environments affect us as individuals?
They affect us hugely. I think that quote from Winston Churchill, first we shape our environment, thereafter they shape us. There's a lot of, I'm glad you asked this, Ilona, because you know, what is a sustainable environment? You know, obviously we understand that natural daylighting is huge. You know, when you think back to some of the your favorite spaces to be, you know, what do they look and feel like? And we know that, you know, there's a lot of talk about infusing biophilia into projects. This is something that, you know, architects like Frank Lloyd Wright was doing many, many, many years ago, you know, buildings that are passively designed, that are responsive to the site, that embed, you know, the idea of creating community, that embed natural materials and patterns. There's a lot of data. Terrapin Bright Green is a nonprofit that is putting together a lot of this data that is demonstrating the positive benefits, the cognitive benefits, the attendance, the health and wellness, you know, the fact that people function better in spaces that are designed with nature in mind, you know, daylighting and views, and, you know, materials, obviously no low emitting materials, materials that are a reflection of nature. They all make us, these kinds of environments, you know, materials that reflect the environment, you know, not just talking about indoor plants and things like that, but really just reflecting nature as much as possible. Well, these are spaces that make us feel good. They're spaces we want to be in. and, you know, really bringing nature, you know, we are biological creatures and, you know, our buildings are also biological. And how can they be designed for us to really thrive? And I think if you look at spaces you like to be in, I wonder what those traits are. Do you have a space that's like one of your favorite spaces to be, Ilona?
Well, I know I enjoy, I have a home outside of the city, a couple of hours away. So I do enjoy the nature and the backyard and planting and all of that. Because, I mean, it's absolutely so true. I really feel like with the development technology and the where we're heading, we're just always like going backwards as human, trying to get back in touch with nature, you know, trying to also include nature as part of our day-to-day lifestyle and living. And it's getting harder, but I think you got to be even more intentional. But people are realizing the value of being in nature, eating organic, healthy foods, right? Just being in touch with the sun, the energy that you see from that environment and all of that, how it fuels us from all dimensions as well. So I think, yeah, absolutely. This is absolutely the future. But I do see that trend, and I do see myself, the older I get, the more I want to get back in touch with nature as well.
And if I'm thinking about also things like acoustics and you know and lighting. I don't specialize in restaurant design, but with restaurants, my favorite restaurants are those. And I've left restaurants because the acoustics are poor, the lighting is really poor. But you know, when I'm sitting at a restaurant, for example, like it's so unpleasant if you can't hear, because you're there to, you know, to converse with people, right? And to, in a sense of like communal. So restaurants with bad acoustics, or bad lighting. I mean, I think just thinking about what the space's purpose is and what traits will help people, you know, thrive in that moment, right?
And nature is huge. Mary, we can obviously go on and on, but I'd like to end this show today. I want to thank you for everything that you'd shared with us and all the amazing work that you're doing out there in the world, creating impact and making change with your teams as well, because I always know that collaboration is powerful and we can do so much more when we align with the right people that believe in similar values and believe in the same, you know, vision, mission, and causes. So I would love to end the show with a final message from you, anything that, you know, just is coming up for you that you'd like to leave us with, and also where is it that the audience can further check out your portfolio, all the amazing work that you're doing out there in the world to further connect with you.
Well, thank you, Ilona. I want to express gratitude for this time with you today. I really enjoyed conversing. I think we're kindred spirits, so I'm happy to have met you. I look forward to staying in touch. I just feel grateful too for the opportunity that I have every day to work with my clients and stakeholders and really create, you know, positive impact in the work that we do together. So every day is kind of a new adventure, and remaining energetic about providing positive impact. I appreciate that that our team is all in alignment in that mission. If you'd like to reach out to me in the future or learn more about HED, our website is www.hed.design. You can meet some of my colleagues across the nation to learn more about our national work across sectors. If you'd like to reach out to me personally, I would be happy to hear from you. My email address is mruppenthal@hed.design. So look forward to hearing from you. And thanks again, Ilona, for this opportunity. I really enjoyed conversing with you today.
Thank you so much, Mary. And thank you also for the amazing work that you're doing out there. I encourage everybody to check out Mary's website and further connect, because one of our important values here is to connect and build meaningful relationships. You never know where you could align some dots in your journeys, right? Because we all individuals that always like to evolve, learn, grow. So we can never know how we can add value to one another unless we obviously surround ourselves with and be in each other's world. So thank you so much, Mary, for being here. And thank you always for watching and supporting the show. Don't forget to share it, subscribe, and also leave us an amazing review so that it can help the show get featured in where the people that are listening to it need to hear it the most. Thank you so much for your time. And I'll see you next time with another amazing guest and show. Bye, everybody. And we care about doing more good in the world and serving our global communities. Our foundation, the Life School Mission Foundation, serves young girls and women that don't have access to technology, that don't have access to education that they need, and also are living in toxic environments, get more resources around those areas of self-leadership, entrepreneurship, and entrepreneurship. Please help support our foundation by donating so that we can support more amazing souls. For every client or student that comes through the Life School, we pay back the same service. We give that back to one young woman or a young girl so that we can help support them in those three areas. If you'd like to make any donations, check out our website at lonalopari.coaching/the Life School Mission Foundation or send us an email at lifeschoolmission@gmail.com. We appreciate your support in this very important cause.